Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, as you know, there's a huge amount of movement in the workforce at the moment, as lots of us have reassessed our priorities around work during the pandemic. I mean, that's evident. But if you're planning to change jobs soon, do you feel, you know, you're on top of the financial implications that a job move brings? Because there's loads. For instance, should you apply for a job if the salary isn't advertised? You know, if you've annual leave days left in your old job, can you get paid for them? How can you negotiate your salary, and when is the best time to do this? It's an absolute minefield. So I'm joined on the line now by Jane Downes, who's going to guide us through all of it. Jane is the founder of Clearview Coaching and author of the career book. Jane, good morning.
Good morning, Jen.
How are you?
I am great. Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday. Okay, so let's start with your number one piece of advice around moving jobs for, from a financial point of view.
Yeah, look, you know, we've got to ask ourselves, is it a positioning move or a money move or both? That's the first thing. And if it is a money move, it's about asking for what you deserve, making sure you have your ducks in a row around benchmarking and market rate. And I suppose lead with gratitude in the negotiation. What do I mean by that? You know, don't go in with sort of this entitlement piece. It doesn't work, right? It backfires. Just state the facts and request and thank them for any moves they do make in terms of negotiations.
Okay. Would you apply for a job that didn't disclose the salary?
Yes, look, this is something that's come to the fore now, because we now have a new EU-wide pay transparency law coming in, which is going to be really interesting, where job ads now will have to show a salary guide. Okay. And this is great news for job seekers. Would I apply for a job? Yes, I would. I think what you need to do is apply, state your salary, explain that you're looking for an uplift for a move to take place, and it also depends on the package on offer, and go from there.
Okay. Okay. Good advice. So in what circumstances do you think it's worth taking a financial hit in terms of a lower salary?
Yeah, look, you know, I'm a career coach, Jen, so I am going to say it's really always about positioning when we're making moves. And that might sound like a luxury people can't afford right now with the rate of inflation the way it is. But here's the thing. If you're going to make a move to a job where the salary maybe stays still, or actually you take a decrease in salary short term, you're going there to build skills, to reposition yourself potentially, and to get more experience with the hope that actually your salary will really increase over time. And we see this a lot in Clearview. So that will be a classic, what we'd call a sideways or a lateral move, where you're moving to position yourself, better organization, better people, better training, better support, whatever the case may be. So it's not always about money, but unfortunately, in the times we're living in, money matters.
Absolutely. And speaking of which, and the situation you're going into, before accepting a new role, what sort of information should you be getting from your new employer in terms of, you know, the package that you're getting and the facilities and the backup and HR and all that kind of stuff?
All of it. So first of all, what I'd say here is it starts with effective interviewing, but I would not say and advise that an interview to ask all of these details.
Okay.
Get an offer, then negotiate hard. But again, as I say, from a position of gratitude, right? In terms of how to do this, we want it all in writing, because in writing counts from a legal point of view. Plus, you have the information in front of you in which to digest it and to do the maths around it. So you want to know every single last detail of what the package is on offer, down to annual leave, down to whether there's yearly increments in the organisation, or whether this is all to play for in terms of a salary review yearly based on key performance indicators, or whether this could be your salary for the next 5 years. Pension, what kind of contribution? Do they pay for healthcare? Is there any lifestyle rewards, or maybe extended parental leave or maternity leave? All of these things are really important pieces of information to inform you before you jump ship.
Okay, so if you're not doing that in the interview, the interview, you're really just selling yourself and talking about the job and being grateful. You've said that a few times, so that must be really, really important. So you do the interview, and then is it the next step, if they show interest in you, then you do that all in an email asking about the package and all that. Is that when you do it?
To be fair, any organisation will really hopefully take the lead here in terms saying, look, we're offering you the role, and these are the details. They might give it verbally to you over the phone, and the next thing you say is, could you send me that on email so I can have a look at it and digest it? The other thing I'd say is, do not knee-jerk in terms of negotiating there and then. Thank them for their offer. Say you're delighted. Let me digest this. I need to go through the maths of this, and I'll be back to you. Buy yourself some time. This is not a sprint.
Okay, good advice. Mm. And what other things can you negotiate into your package? Okay, there's no wriggle room on salary, let's say, but what about working from home and all that kind of stuff?
Yes, you see, this is where it gets really interesting, because in the war for talent, organisations now more than ever need to rethink and be more flexible about what they can offer and be resourceful. So you decide what's important to you. Maybe this is about working in a hybrid fashion or working from home, where you have much less costs in terms of commuting and lunches and et cetera, et cetera. So you've got to decide what matters to you. Maybe it is healthcare, and maybe it's extended leave. Maybe it's lifestyle rewards like yoga or acupuncture or having a career coach. This is the latest, by the way, Jen, having a career coach to partner with you in your organization to develop you and to develop your career plan and your ambitions for your career over time, so that you keep realistic but have a plan in place to motivate you. So there's lots you can ask for. Of course, it depends on the organization you're working for. Okay, not all organizations are at the races here in terms of compensation packages.
Okay. Okay, so you've done all that. You've got the job. And sometimes when you start a new job, you get taxed to the hilt. I mean, emergency tax and all that kind of stuff. Have you any tips on how to avoid that from happening?
Yeah, so you focus, first of all, on what you're in control of. So day one in your job, you make sure you register, make sure your employer registers you so that they get your tax credits. Also, make sure you are handing in your P45 or your new employer has your P45. If you are emergency taxed, if you're paid monthly, that'll be rectified, I believe, within sort of 2 weeks. They're pretty good now at this sort of stuff in the revenue office. If you're paid weekly, you might have a delay of a week. It's hard to know, but you're not going to have a major disruption like we used to have around emergency tax, which was always a mare when you're trying to start a new job. The last we need is that.
Okay, and what about annual leave days left to take? What are the rules around that?
Yeah, so look, you're entitled to what you've accrued or earned in terms of your annual leave. You can either take that with you, take a little bit of a break before you start your new role. Some organisations will, you know, pay you in lieu if you're not getting time off before you start your new role. That's all for negotiation, but do not fall out with your current employer over things like this. Please, it's not worth it. Of course, put a value and push for what you need. So if it's time off you want, request it and make sure the handover is done so you're free to take a little bit of time before you start your new role.
Okay. So if you are making the move to go self-employed, for example, setting up your new business, your own business, what should you be aware of? I mean, what precautions can you take to protect yourself?
Yes. So first things first, you do need to understand how your finances are going to work. It works very differently, I know from experience. Mm-hmm. Start Your Own Business course will give you a good foundation into what you need to be considering. You need to get yourself an accountant. You need to figure out your cash flow. You need to figure out, do I stay with the day job for 2-3 days a week, maybe if I can, until I jump ship fully? Sometimes we can't go from 0 to 10 and setting up a business. Maybe we're getting funding or a grant. Look and see what you're entitled to. But your way of paying yourself is going to change. It really is. So you just need to be aware of that. And ideally you have a little bit of a pot so that for a rainy day. That's the ideal scenario, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And get yourself a good accountant. Top tip. Now, the UK have started this week trialling a 4-day working week. This makes me very excited. Jane, is it coming here? Is this going to happen? What's the crack?
Near to me, this really excites me. I almost feel like I need a glass of champagne in my hand here talking about this. This to me is magic, right? This is a game changer. Yeah, so the 4-day week global are creating this pilot program, could we call it that, across a number of countries, where they're measuring the impact around somebody, organizations working a 4-day week from a point of view of productivity and well-being. So what they're saying here is you still get paid 100% of your salary. You work a 4-day week, so 80% of the time you'd usually work, but they are seeking 100% productivity or output. So there'll be a little more tighter measurements around output. But what this really means is we're going to have a better life.
Yeah.
Happy days. It's a triple benefit to employers if they can attract people in with this, to employees in terms of well-being, less stress, and the planet. This is good.
Is it going to happen though? Do you see it happening in the next? Give me a time frame. When you see this happening, Jane?
Look, I would love to say it's all to play for. I'd love to say within the next 24 months. I think this is going to be measured scientifically by lots of researchers in Cambridge, Oxford, Boston, leading the way here. So if the science behind it stacks up, this could move pretty fast.
Okay.
Faster.
That is really exciting, and we have to leave it at that. Jane, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That is Jane Downes. She is the founder of Clearview Coaching and the author of the career book, Help for the Restless Realist. It's a must read for anyone considering a career change. Go and get your hands on it.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.